comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I'm Greg Mahochko. To my right, not at the kitchen table. No, not this time. This time we're recording at the desk in the studio / front room of my home, where during the holiday season we have a Christmas tree in front of the window, but it's October. But anyway, to my right is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Mike.
Hello.
I'll say this. That was a shorter, abridged version of the co-host of the year.
That's okay.
We are directly under my son's bedroom, and he's not yet asleep.
Yes.
Or at least he wasn't when I left his room about the time you got here.
Maybe the soothing sounds of the podcast will lull him into slumber.
Well, hopefully they don't lull you, the listener, into slumber.
No. Because they wake you up.
Because we have a fantastic show headed your direction with a guest appearance from Chad Smart, the founder of the Positive Cynicism Podcast Network.
Yes. Former member of Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Yeah, we're sad. But we're happy for Chad.
Yes.
But we're sad. But we're happy.
Yes.
But we're sad. You're going to have to use that microphone a little bit better, I think. Or I'm going to have to. One of the two. I'm looking at anyway. So I'm on the headset, Mike. You're rocking the mic.
I have the mic and headset on.
And I do say I really like those headphones.
So do I. They're very nice.
As usual, we always talk about, you know, what we're drinking. And right. I am blessed to say that I am drinking a Sierra Nevada 2019 Oktoberfest. It is a collaboration with Bitburger Brewery. It is the ultimate season of revelry. They teamed up with Germany's famed Bitburger Brewery for an Oktoberfest that turns backyards into beer gardens. Rally your friends and celebrate with a fest beer whose rich amber color, secret hop blend, and smooth malty flavor bring the Munich tense to you. Oktoberfest is a 6.0% alcohol by volume, and this 12 fluid ounces, let me tell you, delicious.
I bet it is. Unfortunately, I am a bit under the weather, so this is the first Friday in a long time I'm not drinking. Instead, I'm going with sparkling ice, peach nectarine with antioxidants and vitamins and zero sugar. And I got a little bit of this left, and then when I'm done with that, then I also brought same thing except coconut pineapple, which is actually my favorite.
See, I'm a big fan of the black raspberry.
Oh, that is a good one, too. I believe I have couple of those in my fridge right now.
I think that's the household favorite. Black and raspberry. And now those sparkling ice come with caffeine. So it's like soda without soda because it's zero sugar.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of those. They're a big hit in my house for all members except for my dog, who probably would enjoy it if you put it in her dish.
Yeah, probably.
So we've got a lot of things to get to. As I mentioned in the latter half of the show, we're going to talk with Chad Smart. So let's dive into it, shall we?
Let's do it to it.
And let's start. I think we should just go ahead and start with Batman.
Okay. The Batman. Yes.
The Batman movie had a kind of a very busy week in casting news for The Batman.
Yes.
We found out, you know, we talked on it a couple weeks back that Jonah Hill was rumored or in talks to be a villain in The Batman. But that is no longer the case. And this was from Deadline.com earlier this week, that two-time Oscar nominee. I didn't realize he was a two-time Oscar nominee. I guess one was probably for Moneyball.
Yeah.
And the second one was for Accepted.
Was it?
No.
I was like, wow.
No.
You know what's funny is I was trying to think of like a bad movie that I was going to be like, oh, and it's for Superbad, I believe. But you beat me to it with Accepted.
I think Accepted's far better than Superbad.
Better or worse?
Better. South Harmon Institute of Technology?
Yeah, okay. I say Superbad's a little bit better, but not by much.
I think part of it is I like Justin Long better than I like Michael Cera.
Well, that's understandable.
I couldn't tell you who else is in either of those movies. Well, Emma Stone is in
Superbad.
Superbad. I don't know who like the lead female that Justin Long's character is trying to impress. I can't tell you who that is in Accepted.
Yeah, I can't either. I've
it's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
It hasn't been. I want to say it's been less than 3 years for me. I think it was on Netflix or something.
But I think I like Justin Long's like climactic speech at the end of that movie better.
Okay.
It was kind of like a rallying cry for shitheads everywhere.
I see what you're saying. I think I'll only use now to say Superbad is because for nostalgia reasons, because that was one of the DVDs I had when I didn't have cable and stuff, so I'd watch it all the time. And I'd watch like the behind the scenes and stuff. This has got Seth Rogen in it, and it's got what's his name? Who's the other cop with Seth Rogen? Bill Hader.
I think
Bill
so.
Bill Hader in there. So come on, I can name more people.
But it also gave us McLovin.
Yes, thank you.
And no offense to the actor,
mm-hmm.
but it seemed like so.
By the way, Christopher Mintz-Plasse is the actor.
Yeah, I know, but. Who was also in other...
Kick-Ass.
Yeah, I was going to say Kick-Ass. Mm-hmm. I was going to say other movies, including Kick-Ass.
Yes.
But in a way that is similar to like when Napoleon Dynamite came out and everybody was quoting like the worst, you know,
right, right.
Like, I just feel like everybody was going around calling themselves McLovin after that. And so I just wanted to hit all of those people. And since legally I'm not allowed to do that... I just had to take my frustration out by putting Superbad off to the side.
There was a article recently, actually, a 20-year-old kid got caught drinking with a McLovin license.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say got caught drinking out of a laundry detergent
bottle. No.
Because now the kids are eating Tide Pods, so you can't be sure.
Well, they're probably not, actually. But...
Well, they were.
Well, I mean,
a couple did.
Do you know of anybody that actually did, or do you know of stories of kids that did?
I'm pretty sure that it was in the mainstream media, and the mainstream media wouldn't lie to us.
Right, right.
I don't know if you know that or not. Mainstream media is always honest and upfront.
You believe whatever helps you sleep at night, but
anyway, Matt Reeves is directing the Batman after in the same article that says that Jonah Hill no longer in talks. It did say that Seth Rogen. There was interest in Seth Rogen for the role of Penguin. However, no offer or talks occurred. So that news came after we heard that a pretty prominent young actress who's mm-hmm. on her way up is going to be Catwoman, and that's Zoe Kravitz, Lenny Kravitz's daughter, who this will be her second foray in the realm of comic book movies.
What else was she in?
She was in X-Men First Class.
Oh, as the
winged, like, I don't know if it was called Pixie or something, or...
There's no way it could be called that. It had been something cool, right? Insect or something? I mean, no, that's not cool.
David. Dragonfly.
Wing person?
I'm looking.
I don't remember. But yeah, no, that was a good part. And she spit acid or whatever.
And I think she also was in the second one early on, like as a... Like a, I don't know. There you go. Get that breath of carbonation free.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm going to find it here. She was called Angel Salvador. So I don't know.
Okay.
I thought she had a X-Men, like a code name, but I guess not.
I mean, Angel's kind of a code name.
And I guess.
Okay.
So anyway, Zoe Kravitz. I don't know what all else she's done. I feel like I've seen her in a few things, but couldn't pinpoint them.
How? Because she looks pretty young. How old is she?
She is born in 88, so she's 31.
Okay, so
that works. Which is hard to believe.
Yeah. I would have not guessed 31.
I would not. I mean.
20-something, maybe.
Yeah.
Early 20s.
And I guess that makes sense. You know, she was early 20s when First Class came out, because that was 2012.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's she would have been 24 in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was in Mad Max. I kind of forgot about that. Divergent, which I tried to forget about. Little Big Lies, I don't know anything about that. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Okay, she was the voice of Mary Jane.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. She was in Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, so I've seen that. Here's fun. I didn't know this. She was the voice of Catwoman in the Lego Batman movie.
Oh.
So this will not be her first time playing the role.
That's true.
It will be her first time playing the role.
Live. Yes.
Speaking of Catwoman, I saw something on Twitter that I chuckled at because, I don't wear women's clothes.
I didn't think you had to say that, but okay. Just get it out there.
But I've noticed that, a lot of my wife's dresses and things like that have pockets in them, which, right. 5-10 years ago, I didn't think, that would ever be a thing.
Right.
But I just saw, wasn't even like a comic strip or anything like that. It was Wonder Woman saying, "Oh my gosh, Catwoman, I love your new cat suit." And Catwoman said, "Yeah, it has pockets."
Okay.
I don't know why.
All right, interesting.
And then the caption above it says, "Women, anytime you have an option, choose pockets. Choose something with pockets."
Here is a problem, though, and the only reason I know this problem is that I work with women, and I just happened to be at the office, and they were all there. And your wife might know about this. Apparently, there's a thing where it looks like there's pockets, but it's not actually pockets.
That would drive me nuts.
It drove all them nuts too. Everybody I worked with, they're like, "Why? I don't understand. Why is this?"
My question for them would be: unless you bought it online, did you try it on? And if you tried it on, did you put your hands in your pockets just because?
Okay, so first of all, do you try clothes on? Because I rarely do. I know what size fits me. But let's say, okay, do you?
I lost some weight last year, so I did have to change a size and things like that. So yeah, I tried things on.
Okay. So try things. Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Target. I'll even get a shout out. Target. Okay. Fitting room.
Second stall
on the right.
When you try stuff on, do you put your hands in your pockets?
Yeah.
Really?
Usually because I want to make sure that the pockets are big enough.
Oh, I think you might be the only person that does that.
All right, so there's our poll on Facebook.
Yeah.
If you try on clothes before buying, do you look for pockets?
Yeah. Do you put your hands in your pockets to see if they're pockets?
I do.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a good thing,
I mean, there's the fitting room selfie. I've got to put my hand in my pocket, phone up to the mirror, send it to my wife, make sure it passes the wife test. Wow. Little GQ. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
I don't know. Maybe you do. That's
What does the look on my face tell you, Mike?
You're saying you're nodding your head right now. You're whispering, "Yes, I definitely do. I need permission for these clothes."
My mouth says no, but my eyes say yes. Here's the thing, and this is just me. I've been dressing myself for years, and my style has never changed.
Right.
I was always in school, high school, I was a jeans and t-shirt guy.
Yeah.
Eventually, I felt like I needed, especially when I was selling cars, I needed to grow out of that.
I understand.
So on Fridays, I would have Friday tie day.
Okay.
It was a very popular, event that everybody looked forward to. I was the only one who participated.
Okay.
But I did have a Batman tie bar, a Darth Vader tie bar, a Deadpool tie bar.
Okay.
So I was able to nerd it up a little bit, show a little personality in my tie selection.
I often think the only reason, or one of the only reasons to not be single, to have a girl in your life, would be she wouldn't know, she could just pick out clothes for me.
I mean, that's fine.
She would just be like, "Hey, this is just, just wear this." I'm like, "Cool, whatever, I'll wear it."
I was even the one who coordinated the family Christmas photo outfits last year. We did black and red flannel pants. My wife and I had black long sleeve shirts on, and my boy was in flannel, red and black flannel pajamas, and
I believe I've seen the picture, and it does look good.
It's adorable.
So, okay, let's say you didn't do that. Would your wife be the one that was like, "Oh, we have to coordinate," or is she more of like, "Hey, wear whatever we're wearing"?
I'm pretty sure my wife would be like, "Why do we need to be in the picture?"
Yeah.
So
when I was speaking of pictures, because I talked about this recently with somebody, I can't remember who, but our school pictures, me, Beth, and Tony, when we were younger, we had to get shirts that matched the couch.
Oh, God.
Because the pictures would go in the living room where the couch was. They'd go like three, you know, 8x10s or whatever it was above it. So my mom wanted it. So like we had like a olive green couch. It was a forest green, I think it was, couch. So we all had to wear like different shades of green like in our pictures.
Just to go along with the couch.
Yeah, yeah.
That is, no offense, Mike's mom, that is next level insanity.
Yes, I agree. I think she would agree too.
So Zoe Kravitz is a Catwoman. And we also found out, and you shared this one with me, that Paul Dano is going to be the Riddler.
Yes, he and is.
We just got, I mean, I say we just got, it's not something I really watched, but on Gotham, there was, I guess, a relatively compelling Riddler-esque character.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But this will be the second Riddler on the big screen after Jim Carrey.
Yes.
And the third/fourth Riddler when you go back to the Batman 66 series with Frank Gorshin and... name escapes me now, but he was the guy, Aston, he was the guy who played Gomez on the original Addams Family. Speaking of October, I guess maybe it was Sean Astin's dad, but I can't.
It's like Sean Astin's like adopted dad or I think he got adopted or something like that. The only reason I know that is because I was listening to some podcast he was on. God, what is his name? Austin isn't the last name, but what is it?
So Frank Gorshin, and then son of a bitch.
Look up Adam's Family.
Well, that's a smart way to do things.
I mean, you know.
And we're going to get it. Oh, of course, the movie's out.
I was just going to say, it's going to be the movie.
Film. Gomez. Wrong Gomez.
Oh, that's the Gomez I was thinking of.
Yeah, that was the one. Let's see.
I was like, his name's Gomez Adams, actually.
That's John Astin.
John. Oh, okay.
We were so close when we said Sean Astin.
Yeah.
So John Astin also played him in the 66 Batman series. But my first experience, whatever, with... this sounds weird to say, but the first time that I saw Paul Dano was in a little movie called The Girl Next Door.
Okay.
Remember that one?
No. Was it about a girl next door?
She had moved back home, like with her great aunt or grandma or something like that, but she had spent some time in the adult film industry.
Oh, wait, a comedy?
Timothy Oliphant was in it. And, okay. And
it sounds really familiar.
If I showed you the cover, you might recognize it. Anyways.
Man, this microphone picks up everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Alicia Cuthbert.
Oh, yeah.
And
I don't know if I ever saw it, but I remember seeing that.
I remember seeing it. I had it. That should be no surprise to anybody.
No, none whatsoever. was that the one? Did he have amnesia? Not amnesia. No, was he in a coma?
No.
Okay, I'm thinking of I was thinking of.
No, he was just a high school senior who was kind of on the nerdy side and befriended her, and then kind of, you know, just kind of crushed on her a little bit, and then found out that she was a porn star. And he's like, oh, well, if she's a porn star, then maybe I need to work a little faster before she goes back to L.A. There's going to be...
Letterkenny fans will love that.
There will be a few people who get that.
There will be a few people. If we wanted to do it justice, we would do it for 20 minutes.
It's true. kind of a funny movie and a little twist at the end. So I encourage anybody, if you haven't ever seen The Girl Next Door, do so. Come back and tell us what you think. But anyway, that's the first place that I saw Paul Dano. And I saw him... many years later, and actually just a few years ago, in the movie Swiss Army Man with Daniel Radcliffe, that was on Amazon Prime. And that was a goofy flipping movie, man. But it was a lot of fun.
Yep.
So, but apparently he's been on, I don't remember him in There Will Be Blood.
He was the blood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say he was like the son that, I don't know anything.
No, he played blood.
Okay. So anyway, he's the Riddler. Let's see. Unlike previous live-action appearances, the alter ego of Dano's version of the Riddler will be named Edward Nashton, not Edward Nygma, which actually lines up with the character's origin story in the comics. That's interesting.
Yes.
I always like to play on words of Enigma.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun because it was a riddle.
Not a very good riddle.
Well, I mean, you know.
Easily solvable riddle.
Sure.
Yeah.
However, it was a play on words. It's something that, you know, comic book fans would appreciate and have appreciated, apparently.
You know what comic book fans also appreciate?
Good movies.
College Humor, Batman, Pete Holmes. Have you seen those?
Huh.
Really? You've never seen the Pete Holmes as Batman?
No.
As Batman, it's called?
No.
Oh my God, you have to look it up.
We'll do that.
I mean, not right now, obviously.
We'll do that after the show.
Only reason I thought of that because there's one with the Riddler. So, yeah. After the show, yes.
So, Paul Dano, Zoe Kravitz, Robert Pattinson, Jeffrey Wright. Shaping up.
Yeah.
I really don't know what kind of story they're going for at this moment.
I was curious. I don't know if they're going to do gritty, if they're going to do sparkly, you know.
I think, look, there are recognizable names,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't call necessarily anybody on that list an A-lister. Would you?
No.
Mm-mm. So I think you can, if you're not spending that much money on the talent, so to speak, I could see them doing a smaller budget Batman film, which is what a lot of people have been clamoring for a while. You know, you don't have to have the atomic bomb at the end, you know, like at the Dark Knight Rises. And, you know, I don't know how much the Christopher Nolan movies cost to make.
$2-3 bucks.
A couple?
Yeah, a couple bucks.
They made a couple bucks too, maybe 5-6, something like that.
I'm trying to open up a cough drop.
You can turn your mic off if it helps.
Nah, I just do it like this. And maybe it's an ASMR for some people.
Is it what? A who?
Have you ever heard of ASMR? ASM?
Huh.
I forgot what it stands for. It's people doing weird stuff to microphones.
It is autonomous sensory meridian response.
Yes.
Sometimes autosensory meridian response is an experience characterized by aesthetic-like or tingling sensation on the skin that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and upper spine. That sounds dirty.
Well, could be for some people. I don't know.
There you go. Let us know if you got turned on by mics opening the halls.
Or if you just got annoyed by it. Sorry. I don't want to keep coughing.
It's all right.
I really want this to be over with tomorrow because I got prevention suicide walk in the morning I'm doing. And then
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then I'm...
I think we wrote down it or marked down as interested in the event.
No, yeah, it's tomorrow.
What time?
9 o'clock. I think March helps not March. The registration starts at 8, and then the event starts. It goes like 9 to 10. I think. I don't really. I've never been to one before. I don't know. I'm like, do I actually walk for an hour?
I hope not.
But if I do, that's fine.
I mean, can I just walk around here? Like, I got to mow the yard. Does that count?
Hey, well, do what
can
you
I just
do, man.
Can I mow the yard for suicide prevention?
Sure. I do whatever you want, man.
I plan on making waffles and bacon.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Waffles for suicide prevention and awareness.
But then I got...
I hope that's not making light of this situation.
No. And then I'm supposed to meet up with some friends tomorrow night. So, we're just going to suck if it... I'm just going to go anyway. I don't care. In fact, I'm going to work out in the morning, too.
You're a nut.
I was originally going to work out after this, if I wasn't feeling as bad.
You're a nut.
Try a roll.
Let's stay on the... not on the DC necessarily, but on the Warner Brothers side of things.
All right.
I shared it on the Facebook page. Actually, I think we shared most of these things on the Facebook page as the week went on. The Harry Potter story was over. We thought that it was over.
Right.
However, J.K. Rowling, who made a lot of money writing about a little boy who was a wizard,
mm-hmm.
Decided, well, let's take the story one step further and write a West End play for it.
Right.
For London's West End. And I think it's called The Cursed Child or something like that. Apparently, and I kind of figured it's only a matter of time until this happened because all the stars are, you know, still of age and they look a few years older than they did when that last movie came out. But apparently there has been a lot of interest shown and Warner Brothers is now developing a new Harry Potter film with the original cast, and it's going to be an adaptation of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know anything about, like, this little article that I wrote on WeGotThisCovered.com actually, like, told me aspects of the plot because I never looked up the plot.
Right.
And it said, I don't know how familiar you are with Harry Potter.
Not familiar. Well, a little familiar.
Okay. Well, for any of you Harry Potter fans out there, Mike can borrow the DVD sometime or Blu-ray. I've got them on Blu-ray. The full story follows Harry and Draco's children, Albus Potter and Scorpius Malfoy, as they team up in an attempt to save Cedric Diggory from his fate. By the way, Mike, if you didn't know, Cedric Diggory died. Spoiler.
Well, now I don't have to watch it.
Well, I mean, that was only the end of the fourth movie, and there are eight movies. So, so anyway, they think, speculation on this particular site is that because the Fantastic Beasts movies didn't do quite as well as, or especially the second one didn't do quite as well as they hoped that it would,
right,
that they got like, oh crap, let's, you know, go back to, let's play the hits, as it were.
But is it like, is JK like poor now or something?
No.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So, like,
she's doing pretty well.
Is Daniel Radcliffe, he's in some kind of financial trouble?
No, it's not the actors, it was the studio. They want to, I guess, revive the series after, or revive the franchise after the second Fantastic Beasts and Crimes of Grindelwald didn't do so hot.
I mean, sure. Go for it.
That's yeah. Their speculation.
Yeah, I understand.
Anyway, as is any movie anymore, I don't know how, you know, long it is on the stage, but The Cursed Child is a two-part production. It's likely this will be a two-film affair.
Of course.
Though that hasn't been confirmed just yet. I mean, like, seriously, why do they need to take two movies to do it?
Money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably why they... Well, actually, I take it back. I don't think they could fit all of that last book, all of Deathly Hallows' book into one movie, because right. I remember seeing it like on a bookshelf with the other six books, and it's like first book, second book, third book, fourth book, seventh book.
Yeah,
it's like 800 pages or something ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I have the books actually.
Oh,
I got it from my dad. I had like I think it's like two of the same. It's probably like the last two books because they're really thick. Haven't read them at all.
So, they also say, for now, our sources, the same ones who told us Ewan McGregor was returning as Obi-Wan, Marvel was planning a She-Hulk show, and Disney was developing an Aladdin sequel, all of which proved to be correct, have only been able to confirm that WB intends on adapting the play and is expecting Daniel, Emma, and Rupert to return.
Damn right.
So there you go. How's that for Harry Potter news?
I guess if you're out, or if you're a Harry Potter fan, you're probably thrilled. Or maybe not. I don't know.
Well, let's jump to the other side, shall we?
Let's
from DCWB to Marvel. And Scarlett Johansson is teasing that the Black Widow movie could be a franchise. Let's see exactly where. In a Hollywood event, Johansson, one of the speakers at, or I'm sorry, Elle's Women in Hollywood event, she referred to Black Widow not as a singular movie, but as a franchise. Somebody wrote on Twitter saying that the first Marvel movie produced by one of its actors, the Black Widow movie is the first Marvel movie produced by one of its actors. So obviously she just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Also referred to it as a standalone franchise, which is interesting if you expected it to be a one-off based on, you know, because everybody knows what happens to Black Widow. So this is going to be like a trilogy necessary, maybe perhaps a trilogy of prequel movies or movies set in between like the rest of the Marvel. What's your take? What's your theory, Mike?
It's going to have to be, I know the first Black Widow movie is supposed to take place between Civil War and Infinity War. So maybe all of them can take place in between this. Only problem is, since we know what happens to her in Endgame, and she dies. spoiler alert.
So sad.
There's no, I don't know what are the stakes going to be? Because if I'm watching this movie, which I think the movie's going to be good, but if I'm watching a franchise of it, and she's in danger right now. Well, is she really? Because we know she doesn't die there.
The only thing, and I saw this on the comment thread, and I didn't do my due diligence to look it up on like Comics Vine or Marvel History mm-hmm. or something like that, but possibility of a clone, because there was one commenter okay. who said that that particular character has been cloned in the comics before.
So are you talking like she was a clone in Endgame?
I'm thinking maybe the new movies, she's a clone in that, or somewhere along the path.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of, yeah, I mean, yes, could that happen? Absolutely. I think it's kind of a cheap way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if they go with that, then why don't they just go, oh, here's an Iron Man clone. Those movies did really good. Here's a Captain America clone.
Right.
You know?
Well, because those guys got too expensive.
Yeah, still.
I mean, and she's like helping to, you know, front the money and produce this.
Yes, I agree with you. I think it depends how good the Marvel movies do from here on out on whether or not we're going to see a clone of Iron Man and Captain America. Because even though, yes, they did get very expensive, I think Marvel would shell out that money again if they got the right ratings.
So Black Widow, directed by Kate Shortland, stars Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, David Harbour, and Rachel Weisz. I don't even know if I pronounced Florence's last name correctly. I'm not that concerned about it.
No.
But Taskmaster, so I'm excited about that.
Yes.
And Red Soldier, Red Rocket, whatever the hell David Harbour's.
Red Rocket.
That'd be badass. Oh. And he just hung around on a dog's nether region.
Okay.
I don't know. That's the place I went.
I thought we were going to go more subtle with it. I just let the listeners decide, like, oh, do they know what that actually means? But no, Greg was like...
Right there on Front Street.
Yeah.
Go ahead, take this one.
All right, so my boy Chris Hemsworth.
I'm glad he's your boy.
Yeah, he's talking to me the other day.
Chris Pratt is my boy.
That's cool. Well, they hang out sometimes. I'll probably meet him.
Do you think that they have a podcast where they talk about us?
Not yet. I've been talking with them about starting it. It's going to put y'all United Nerds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. But he wants to remake a little movie from the 70s, 80s?
80s.
80s called Tres Amigos, or Three Amigos, you might know it as, with Robert Downey Jr. and I believe Chris Evans.
Yeah. Could you imagine? I think it'd be better if it was Chris, and Chris.
That's true. It would be.
I mean, that'd be. Yeah. But these three have like the best, you know, because they spent the most time together. I think, you know, yes. As far as on, with the exception of, you know, like Scarlett Johansson. But I mean, these three got a lot of screen time together. Yeah, that'd be phenomenal.
Now, have you seen the? I'm sure you've seen the original.
It's been a long time. I'd watch it again. Yeah, that one sounded painful.
Yeah,
it was. I'd watch it again. I just got to find it. You know, like on a streaming app or something like that.
Yeah, it's probably been since like high school since I've seen it. I wonder what people that are fans of Three Amigos but not necessarily fans of Marvel movies would think about it.
I don't know that one person in the world. I'm guessing that's a very small, like, you know, segment of the population.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I mean, who...
I don't know.
Is there anybody who likes Chevy Chase that much that they don't like Chris Evans? Like, they have like, so much love in their heart for Chevy Chase that they're like, I got no time for Robert Downey Jr.
It would be like people older than us, right, that maybe like watched them when it came out and stuff, and they just don't watch superhero movies, you know?
I mean, like, my parents don't watch. Like, I could spend 25 minutes explaining the Marvel Cinematic right. Universe to my dad, and he'd be like...
But, I mean, did he ever watch Three Amigos? Was he a big Three Amigos fan?
I wouldn't call him a big movie fan.
Okay.
I mean, like, if it was John Wayne,
right?
You know, he's that generation.
Okay.
If this was on... I'll say this, though. Like, my dad's, like, guilty pleasure movie that he'll probably stop, you know, if he's flipping through channels and he comes across it, Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, okay.
Which I wouldn't expect.
No.
But, so anyway, Hemsworth, said that so sad, about kind of finishing Endgame and just were we ever going to hang out again or get to hang out again? And he started thinking, what else could we do? And he said, and I'd love to. I would remake the Three Amigos or something. So I wonder, let's brainstorm.
Okay.
If it's not the Three Amigos, but you've got Chris, RDJ, and Chris.
Right.
If it's not the Three Amigos, if it's, let's focus on the or something.
Right.
What could they remake?
So the one obvious answer is Three Musketeers.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Finally make a good one, you know.
That'd be phenomenal. Still with a little... But who would be the lead in any of these movies? I mean, like, I think Three Amigos lends itself a little bit more, you know, to their, like, you know, because
they're equal.
But, like, I always feel like with the Three Musketeers, whoever gets to be, like, that D'Artagnan role.
Right.
You know, and I'm not a big Three Musketeers, you know, source of information.
No, me neither.
But, like, that's the name I know. Yeah.
Can RDJ, can he do anything but lead now? Do you ever see him being, like, a supporting actor? I know he did in the past. I know that.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Yeah, I don't see it.
But same with Chris Evans.
I can still see him being a supporting actor. And same with Chris Hemsworth.
So you think RDJ?
Yeah, I think it would have to be RDJ.
Did you see the trailer for Doolittle or Dr. Doolittle?
Yes, I did.
That looks interesting.
Yeah, decent.
I mean, I you know, just based on me, I probably won't make it to the theater to see it. But,
no.
You know, I'll definitely check it out. It looks like it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe your kid would like it.
Yeah.
My son, he's 15. I don't think he'd like it.
Yeah.
Or care about it.
My kid likes animals. Yes. Your kid doesn't.
No.
He doesn't give a crap.
He hates animals, actually. No, just kidding.
No, he probably does. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be... Chris Hemsworth and honestly, those guys can do whatever they want.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll... Because they have the brand naming, you know, that they'll... They could do something even more obscure than that. Here's one for Chad. They could remake The Apple. You won't get that.
Nope.
And I shouldn't know what that is, but Chad does. And when we have him on here in a few minutes, we will we'll ask him about it. But they could do anything and bring great success to it because that's what they do.
That is true.
So I think that kind of covers all of our headlines.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So...
I mean, for crying out loud, we've only been at it for, you know, 35 minutes already.
That doesn't seem like it's been 35
minutes. I'll tell you what we've been doing. We've been keeping our conversation about the headlines shorter.
Mm. Yeah.
Because when we come back from the break, everybody, we're going to be visited with the founder of the Positive Cynicism Podcast Network, or the PCPN, as he's trying to get over, Mr. Chad Smart. So why don't you all stay where you are? Because before you know it, we'll be back.
Yeah, you've never had a taco night unless you've had an LA taco night.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it's taco night in LA, and you must have had a hike. Did you have a hike?
Oh, yeah. You can't have a taco night in LA without having a hike.
Oh, yeah. We had an LA hike, but it was so cold. It gets so cold in LA.
Oh, yeah. It's a desert, don't you know?
Oh, yeah. It gets just as cold in LA. It's just a different kind of cold in LA.
Pull your finger out of your ass.
That's what I say. I said, pull your finger out of your ass. You're from LA.
You've got to take La Cienega to La Tejera if you're going to LAX in LA.
Oh, yeah. I will have another cold press juice because we're in LA.
Welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast. Greg Mahan. Nope.
Scratch that. I was like, what? Wait, what podcast are we on right now?
I'm not used to doing breaks in this show. We do breaks on my other podcast. Welcome back to Nerds.
Why 1, 2, 3 cents?
Well, that we're just continuing to knock out shows that... are on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, but this is Nerds United. I'm Greg Mahochko, joined by the co-host of the year, Mike Luther, and our recently departed friend, Chad Smart, with the Positive Cynicism Podcast Network, or the PCPN, positivecynicism.com, and you can follow and subscribe to his shows on Podbean. Chad is in L.A., and... Tell us what's going on, man. How's life treating you there, walking along a busy road?
Yeah, you know, I'm just out for a hike here in LA because that's what we do. It's going good. Other than I think I may have jumped the gun on leaving the Jittery Monkey Network because trying to set up all the shows on all the different podcasting catching platforms. And so far I've got Podbean. And that's it. So for some reason, iTunes will not take my show, and I don't know why. And, so that's how I'm going to spend my weekend, is trying to figure that out. But That and repurposing all the old shows to move over, while leaving in all the Jittery Monkey marketing. So hopefully, you know, it'll be cross promotion and still trying to come up with that show that you and I can do, so I can be co-host of the night. And
there you go. That's better.
You know, what's that?
I said that's better. You can't be co-host of the year. You can be co-host of the night.
No, can't be co-host of the year. I'll just be co-host of the hour.
That works.
Hey, that's all right. There are sometimes in my own home where I'm only the co-host of like the 5 minutes, if you know what I mean. So, Chad, we're going to have you on to talk about a few things, not necessarily LA-centric, but you have seen a few movies here in the recent weeks, and one of them we wanted to see tonight. In fact, we were going to see, and then we realized that it's only showing on Tuesday and Thursday, and that's it. So you were one of the lucky few who got to see this past week Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. Tell us about
that. That is correct. Yes, it was a Fathom Events, two-night only event. On Tuesday, they showed it with introduction by Kevin and Jason Mewes, and that was it. And then Thursday was a double feature with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. He is, you know, after this week, it does go on tour. Kevin Smith will be taking it to various cities and showing it and then doing a Q&A. And he is coming to St. Louis, but I see that it is already sold out. And then after that, I think that runs through February, and I don't know if it's going to be released on streaming and digital after that or what the plan is, because I'm kind of surprised that it's not getting a theatrical release. And maybe after this, how it does in the roadshow version, maybe it might get a release. Who knows?
Yeah,
I'm sure Kevin Smith will tell you on his 27 podcast.
You know, Mike and I kicked around the idea of, you know, going to see it at the pageant. By the way, if you're wondering what all that noise is, Chad is walking along the 405. We always told him not to play in traffic. He doesn't want to listen, but he's just enjoying a nice stroll. And it's just after midnight in L.A., and it's still rush hour traffic. So that's why we just hope Chad gets home safe. We Mike and I kicked around the idea of going to the Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow, but you know, when it doesn't start until 7 o'clock on a Sunday, and usually, you know, I've got to work Monday morning, yeah. And Mike does too. It's just some things just aren't as feasible. You know, we were able to go and see, you know, Hollywood Babylon a year ago. I think it was a year ago,
almost
something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, but it just wasn't as feasible this time around. But tell us a little bit. I mean, look, Kevin Smith, in his self-deprecating way, you know, has said, you know, as far as Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, the movie goes, you know, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is, you know, two characters, Jay and Silent Bob. They find out that, you know, there's a movie being made with their likenesses, and they're going to go across country to L.A. to stop it, he said. And in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, pretty much the same thing. So, I mean, does it hit a lot of those similar beats that you know, in a non-spoiler way? Can you tell us a little bit about the movie, Chad?
Sure. Well, first, I'll tell you the experience, because you want the full L.A. experience, is even as a Fathom event, it only played in two locations near where I work, one of them being Playa Vista, which was about a 20-minute drive, and the other one being Burbank. And my friend had already bought tickets to the Burbank show. So since I had seen Tusk and Yoga Hosers with her, I'm like, okay, I'll come over the mountain, over the hill, and see it in Burbank. I left work at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday night and got to the theater at 6:30. And I believe it's about a 12-mile drive. So yeah. So, and then we get there and we bought tickets online. And I don't know if you guys have this back in Illinois now, but all the theaters here have reserved seating. So yes. When you buy your ticket, you pick out which seat you want. Well, this did not give us that option. And so when we got there to the theater at 6:30, there was a line to get in. And it didn't look that bad. But when we got actually into the theater, the only row with two seats together was the second row.
Ooh, been there.
Yeah, but, you know, I said, hey, this will be good, because when Kevin Smith shows up as a surprise guest, we're right down in front.
Only problem is.
The only problem is I now cannot move my neck because I was staring up at a screen for 2 hours.
I thought you were going to say the only problem was Kevin Smith never showed up.
This is LA. So have you heard of Legion M?
Yes.
Okay, I had not. But apparently they are involved in this somehow. And so Legion M.
So Legion M is like a crowdsource funding, you know, production company. Or you know, it's like crowdsourcing to get your movie made. They've done a few, I think, Jane Silent Bob reboots, probably the biggest project that they've, you know, maybe not biggest as far as like, you know, the amount of money that it took to produce the film, but or you know, be a part of the production, but most recognizable as far as, you know, like, you know, director, writer, you know, story, things like that. It's a lot of independent films, but I'm vaguely familiar with Legion M.
Okay. So when the Legion M guys is there and he's talking and thanking all the people who supported Legion M and had signed up through them. And if you were a member, you got a free Chronic Con lanyard as a keepsake. But, and they were doing they were giving away like a signed DVD of Dogma, a signed poster, and a signed Funko Pop. So then he just keeps talking and rambling. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, we do have a surprise for you. Here's Kevin Smith.
Nice.
And Kevin Smith came in his oversized suit jacket.
Naturally.
Was not wearing a hockey jersey, which surprised me. And then he went on to give about a 10-minute explanation of why he made Reboot, which then when they played the little pre-show from Fathom Events, said the exact same thing, basically. But it was fun seeing Kevin and Jason Mewes on the screen. And yes, the movie is a remake, a reboot, and a sequel all in one.
Is it like the Gus Van Sant Psycho, where it's like shot for shot, and you know
shot for shot, but it is. I would say the first 10 minutes are pretty much beat for beat, just like Jay and Silent Bob. The scene with Jason Lee is almost, I would say, 90% the exact same from Strikes Back, and then it does go on its own way of retelling the story. And I will tell you that after the trailer came out, I was not looking forward to the movie that much. I didn't think the trailer was that funny. But after seeing the movie, I laughed more than I thought I would. It is very meta, but it also has heart. And it is, I think, the best wrap up or a great way to wrap up the Buick universe.
Which is
until Clerks 3.
I was going to say, which is funny because, you know, about a week before, you know, this hit theaters, it was announced that Clerks 3 is going to happen, that Jeff Anderson, who played Randall, you know, got, you know, I guess the script that Kevin did a couple of years ago and showed him just wasn't good, wasn't inspiring. And Jeff's like, no, I'm not interested in that. And Kevin's like, if you're not going to have Randall, you can't do it. Can't do it with anybody else. So Near Death has a way of, you know, changing things. And Kevin, you know, reworked the script or wrote a new script, and so that's going to be happening. But that's cool. I like the Viewaskew universe stuff quite a bit. So I'm disappointed that I was unable to see Reboot in theaters. And I said this to Mike and Chad, you having an in the industry there in L.A. Every time I do that, I look at Mike and he laughs. But I think he grimaces more than laughs. But I said, you know, as far as Reboot goes, and you would know this, what's the harm, especially if you're doing like a limited release like this, what's the harm in doing, you know, like, okay, we'll have it in theaters this week, but next week you'll be able to watch it on Amazon Prime?
Well, and that, I think that's the new way of where film is going. Because you look, Netflix The Irishman, the new Martin Scorsese film coming out soon. I think it's only going to play in theaters for 3 weeks, mainly partly due to Scorsese's theatrical insistence and also so that it's eligible for award season.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon Prime, I can't remember what their next film is, but you look at the ads online and it says, you know, in theaters, first week in November on Amazon Prime, the last week of November.
Right.
It just,
you know, I was talking about it with Mike DeKalb, my co-host from Wonder Why and future co-host of the Future Out of Touchstone podcast. And we're just talking about how this new, you know, the cost of film to go to a movie for, you know, a family of four is going to run you about $50 just in tickets these days. But in 11 weeks, the movie is available on digital to own for 15. And so, yeah, I am surprised that the reboot tour is going off for 3 months. But if that's the only way that Kevin can get the movie out there, and it's not like he's just showing the, you know, the movie's going from one place to the other. He's coming along with it to do right. a full presentation. I don't see that model actually taking off, but it is something, it's a way to get your movie out there.
I agree. I don't have much more to add.
Overall, would you, if someone was a Kevin Smith fan and, unlike the St. Louis show, which is sold out, the Reboot Roadshow was coming to their town, would you recommend somebody going and checking it out, Chad?
Yes and no. Yeah, the movie exceeded my expectations, and I think from what I've seen from Kevin Smith in person, he, you know, he puts on a good show, and I'm sure he's going to have tons of stories to tell. The problem with the Roadshow is tickets. I think the cheap seats are about $40 up to $100, depending on, you know, how close you want to sit or if you want to do the VIP. And I don't know if any movie is worth that, but you know, it's up to the person. If you're a huge Kevin Smith fan, then I would say definitely go do it. So it's all, I guess, depends on your financial responsibility.
So let's talk about another movie you saw recently. And this was the movie that Mike and I were going to watch tonight. And then you're like, no, record your show. Wait for it to come out on video. The Joker. Joaquin Phoenix, I mean, it's DC's first, you know, like, I guess, attempt at breaking away from the larger MCU. It's like an Elseworlds story, I guess. And it's receiving a lot of praise critically, and it's doing well at the box office. But, Chad, you said, wait for it on video. I mean, in 2019, video is a different, you know, it's not like going to the video store or Blockbuster right. and picking it up on off the shelf. Tell me a little bit, again, in a non-spoilery way, what was your disdain or what did you not like about Joker that you said it's not necessarily worth seeing in theaters?
Okay, I'll give you a quick one, but I'll also see that the next episode of the as yet untitled Chad and Eric podcast on CCN. I plan on delving into issues surrounding Joker, not so much with the film, it's the content itself, the review style, but just other aspects involved. But I will say, one of the best comments that I've read, if you have seen Taxi Driver or King of Comedy, you don't need to see Joker. And it's well acted, it's well shot, everything is good. I just felt the movie was very meandering, and I would say my biggest issue with it is calling it Joker and having it set in the Batman universe. It should have been called Mr. Funny Pants or something else, and you could have done the exact same movie. But by calling it Joker, I think that's helping get people in there thinking it's a superhero movie when it's really not.
And it's so weird, I think, to have, you know, a movie really about a villain where you don't see the hero, you know?
Yeah.
And like, how do you have a Joker movie without Batman? You can have a Batman movie without Joker because he's got a lot of other villains that you can throw in there. But, you know, to not have the Batman, it seemed like it was a miss from the beginning. It was a movie that I remember when it was announced that I was like, oh, I don't know if we need that. And I don't know how you do it without the Batman. And you know, like you said, Chad, you can, you know, call it anything else, take it out of Gotham, and it'd be just as good. And I'm curious to know, you know, I'll listen to your episode with Eric here when it drops, but I'm curious about an aspect, and I think it's something, you know, that after I think the last trailer came out, the Mike, you and I talked about is, you know, in as far as creating sympathy for a villain.
Right, right.
You know, and Chad, let me know if I'm touching on a topic that you and Eric are going to discuss, but in any way, did you feel like the movie, like, validated the Joker's, you know, violent actions? You know, like the backstory, you know, as abuse or whatever it was, you know, being bullied. Were they trying to justify his, you know, criminal actions?
Yeah, I don't. The movie's not as violent as I thought, although a couple of the violent scenes are extremely violent and made me a little uneasy because I think they're a little too realistic. I think in the last 10 minutes, the movie tries to shoehorn its message, which is one of my issues with the movie. But, and I, without going into full detail, I don't think you really feel sympathy for him, and he's not as violent as what you may be thinking he is going to be. I think the reaction, and this is something that we're going to discuss on the show, is the reaction by the media prior to the release of the film was, it's fake media. It's trying to drum up a controversy that doesn't exist. I did not see John Wick 3, but from what I've heard, I think it's safe to assume that John Wick is a much violent film, much more violent film than Joker. I just think they tried to anticipate something that isn't there, read into something that isn't there, just to create a story. But you do, there is some sympathy for Joaquin Phoenix's character, but I don't think it's as much as you probably think, given the fact that he is the main character and kind of the anti-hero.
If he's, I'm going to ask one more question about this specifically. If he's built as the anti-hero, how can he, you know, feud with the hero? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing.
You're going to have to say that again, Chad. We lost you a little bit there. Still don't have you back, Chad. Where'd you go, Chad?
Can you hear me now?
Getting better, Chad.
I walked back up to the side of the street. He has got... He really isn't a hero or anti-hero. He was just a character that happens to be. When things happen around him that he's not really involved with. And I think that's another part of the movie that betrays the title character.
It, a bit more, at least in this representation of the character, a bit more passive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Things happen that he doesn't even really get blamed for or start, but then he's just... Yeah, I don't know how to explain it without giving anything away. He's just there.
Okay. And, right place, wrong time, or wrong place, right time, or something like that?
I don't really want to look at it.
Okay. Well, Chad, we're, I don't want to cut you short, but we're having some technical issues, and your sound quality, I'm not blaming you, it's L.A. Obviously, everything's better in L.A. But you sound a little bit muffled here in the last couple minutes, so I think we're going to let you go. Let's give you a quick opportunity to plug what you're doing over at PositiveCynicism.com and coming up next month at your new podcast with Mike DeKalb, the hockey transplant himself, out of Touchstone. Take it away with your however long you need seconds of shameless self-promotion.
All right.
Yes, I learned from Kevin Smith. Let's see if I can do this.
Oh, yeah, great. All of a sudden, magically now, the audio quality clears up and we can hear clear as day. Yeah, great.
PositiveCynicism.com. You can stay up to date on most things that are happening. I update like once a week. Right now, big subscribe on Podbean.
Try harder, Chad. Try harder. Do what you were doing a minute ago. Chad, where'd you go? Chad.
Hello?
Okay, whatever you're doing right now, keep
doing
it.
I'm going to stand right here in this position, right here. This is like, you know, the old days when you had the antenna on the TV and you had to like touch it and then do a yoga pose to get a good reception.
Yes. Why weren't you doing that the whole time, Chad?
Well, because I was hiking, because it's L.A. PositiveCynicism.com. Stay up to date. Shows will be rolling out over the next month as I get them done and new logos created. And then in November, Mike and I are launching the Out of Touchstone podcast, which we are going to go chronologically through the history of Touchstone Pictures, Disney's attempt to release more adult-oriented fare, started in 1984 with Splash and went all the way to 2011 with You Again. We are watching every movie and breaking them down two or three movies at a time. We've recorded two episodes so far. I think it's a good show. You can listen and tell me what you think. And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Chad Smart for more information.
We encourage everybody to follow at Chad Smart and vote Smart 2020, right, Chad?
Exactly. The way things are going, that seems like your best option. A better vision for America. I don't know what that vision is, but it's better than what the two parties are giving us. So.
Damn right.
Chad, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your busy LA lifestyle. Be safe when you're out there hiking in Runyon and enjoy your tacos, buddy. All right. That is Chad Smart. Before we... Bye, Chad. Before we leave officially, I wanted to throw a curveball at you, Mike. Okay. And I said this is a ridiculous thing.
Okay.
But I was driving.
Oh, my God. You actually have a baseball. Oh, my God. You're actually going to throw a curveball at me. This is crazy.
What do I have? I don't have
a... And I caught it. Oh, I'm so good at baseball. My mom knows that.
How about a football?
No, that's not the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
A metaphorical curveball.
Oh, okay.
It took me that long to come up with that word. That's...
Yes. All right.
Excuse me.
Curveball it up.
I was driving along in my work truck, and I don't know why. You know, it's Halloween season. You know, it's now, you know, the end of October. And I said Friday the 13th, which I think we had that last month.
Probably.
In September. I said Friday the 13th. And this is why I wanted to – this is the only reason I pulled this clip up. To play for you, and I'll tell you why. But let's play the clip.
Okay, it's a clip. Okay, good.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this, but I'm gonna get you high today, cause it's Friday. You ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
The only reason that I had that clip ready, I just this is the ridiculous part. Friday.
Mm-hmm.
In like the Friday the 13th, Jason.
Yes, yes.
Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
Who would win, or who would care? You know, like would Smokey care if you know Jason was chasing him down at Camp Crystal Lake?
Okay, well, two different questions there. Number one, who would win? That's obvious. It's Jason. I mean,
is it though?
Hands down, but. That dude, Smokey, I guess his name is, he can't.
Hey, did fight. You say you guessed? Did you never see Friday?
I've seen like clips of it.
You need to watch Friday.
One of these days.
And the other one you need to watch. Right. The other one you need to watch. See, I can't believe.
Next Friday?
No, I don't know anything about
Friday
that.
Friday before next?
Don't be a menace in South Central LA while drinking your juice in the hood with the Wayans brothers.
Yes, I have actually seen that. long time. I think I saw it when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
at least not in theaters, but at least
mid-90s.
I know, I got the VHS.
Yeah,
the VHS.
Or if it was on like HBO or something tonight. Or,
no, I didn't get it that way.
Well, I mean, you know, I think I rented that one back in the day, New Baden Video. Now it's a surplus office furniture store.
I rented it at It's My Party, which it was My Party / VBS Video. In Trenton.
Oh, okay.
Which is the video store that I worked at and would go to all the time. And it's not there anymore. I know that.
I had a really good deal. Shout out to my buddy Aaron, who's not listening, but he was my end friend of the show, Josh.
Okay.
And I talked to Josh a lot more than Aaron, but Aaron's wife worked at the video store in this little town in Nebraska where we all lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I go up there, hang out with him. You know, we'd play cards or whatnot, just kill time, watch a movie on their TV. And
I
would rent movies like a couple times a week. I never got charged for it.
Wow.
Like she'd always, you know, if there were other people around, she'd always be like, oh, it was one of those like rent 5 videos, the next one's free.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I see here you've earned a free video. If other people were around, otherwise she'd be like, cool, see you later.
Right.
I was like, thanks. That's probably why they're out of business. No,
I worked at, like I said, that was my very first job, was working at the video store. And I always called myself the assistant manager because there was only 3 people that worked there. It was like the dad, his son, and then me. And they were both managers, so I assisted them. So I just said I was just, I know that was on my resume for a while, assistant manager.
Is that like the Dwight Schrute? He claimed he was the assistant to the regional manager,
right. Or
the assistant manager, regional manager, but he was really the assistant to the
region. Yeah,
gotcha. But anyway, for whatever reason, that like amalgam, you know, we've talked here about like the Marvel DC amalgam universe, things like that. But that amalgam of Friday the 13th,
yeah. You know, I can almost bet they've done a spoof on that.
I wonder.
I bet like Robot Chicken or something has done something.
You think like a Mad TV, yeah. Or I'm guessing In Living Color was still around back when that movie would have come out, or SNL, or I mean,
yeah, somebody's done
something. Or even at this point now, you've got like Funny or Die or College Humor,
right.
You know, somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, come on, internet, do me right. Is somebody find if it's been done? I'm going to task one of our faithful listeners, one of our nerdy Nimrods,
yes,
to look it up for me, because I'm not going to lie, after we're done recording and I get this thing processed, you're going home,
yes,
to get better.
Yes.
And I'm going to bed,
yes,
to get sleep.
Yes.
So, anything else? We've covered a lot of ground today.
No, I don't think so.
Thanks to Chad Smart for joining us in and out here and there a little bit from time to time with a little traffic. But that's what it's like in Los Angeles.
Yes.
You thought I was going to do I got you. That's all. That's all we got for you this week. We appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate you sharing. Hey, the only way that this grassroots podcast is going to grow is by you sharing it with people that you know and to think might appreciate it. So please do.
Yeah. Even if they don't appreciate it, share it with them anyway.
Yeah. Just
force them to like it.
Hit the comment, hit the like, and hit the share button on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
And let other people know about Nerds United, because we were the first Nerds United on Facebook. I know, yes. I looked. And it's just not fair that other, you know, groups or Nerds United Facebook pages have thousands of likes and we have...
Do you ever give them cease and desist letters?
No, I don't think that's how the internet works.
No.
But I looked, man. I was very particular when I was trying to name this because I wanted to make sure it was something that hadn't been done before.
Right.
So, but that's it for this episode of Nerds United. We appreciate you as always. And this has been episode... This has been episode 153 for my good buddy and podcast partner, Mr. Michael Luther, the co-host of the year, for Chad Smart for joining us all the way from Los Angeles, California. My name is Greg Mahochko. This is Nerds United, and we remind you this week and every week to be kind
and rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.